Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron is not going to be able to join us today.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with Dr. Tamika Blake. Dr. Blake is a board-certified emergency physician and the medical director of emergency medicine in Covington, Georgia. As a rising public speaker, she has delivered keynote addresses at Cornell University. She is also a successful entrepreneur who owns two Golden Crust Caribbean restaurant franchises in the metro Atlanta area. Dr. Blake has been profiled in Rolling Out magazine, the Cornell Chronicle, featured on Atlanta Plugged In and Personal Injury Court. Her writing has been featured in LinkedIn, and she has been recognized for excellence in the industry by the Caribbean Association of Georgia in 2019. She is also, in case she wasn't busy enough.
I know. I feel like a big-time slacker.
She is also the creator of the YouTube series, Dr. Tamika Blake. She's married with three children, God bless, ages 9, 10, and 18. She enjoys traveling and spending quality time with her family. Welcome to the show, Dr. Blake.
Hi, good morning. It's such a pleasure and an honor to be on the show today.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, we really, really, really appreciate you taking the time because we know your time is extremely valuable.
I guess I didn't change that one.
No, that's okay. So we're going to get right into it. This is Jean Marie, and I have to say that you sound like an very, very busy person. And I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to choose medicine as your career?
So, you know, as a kid, we all get asked around, I say 9 or 10, like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Right.
And you always have to say something, you know, so I remember my mom was a nurse. So I was like, I want to be even greater than that. I want to be a doctor. I had no doctors in my family, but it just, for me, I knew that I wanted to have something great. And I knew that in her career, she had helped so many people. So it was really, as a kid, and watching like Cosby Show with Dr. Huxtable, mm-hmm. It sounded like a great idea. And it wasn't until really later, you know, when in high school and getting exposed to the sciences, exposed to different programs, I was like, wow, this is really cool. This is something that I could see myself doing for a very long time.
That's fantastic. And it's great that you had that, your mother is your inspiration, and that's wonderful. And then what has been your biggest challenge being a doctor, mother, a franchise owner? You have you're like covering all the bases, but what has been your biggest challenge in your career so far?
Absolutely. So balance. It is something that we all strive for. Mm-hmm. And actually being a young mother, you know, I had my first son when I literally just graduated college, earlier than I expected. Mm-hmm. So it actually helped shape my medical career and what I chose, particularly what specialty. And I wanted to be a mother, just, you know, I was ended up being a mother sooner than I thought I would be. And I wanted to be a mother and a doctor. And that was a choice that I feel like as women in medicine, we are forced to make. Like, is it the right time? When is the right time? There's never a great time. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was something that I really was striving for. So it even changed throughout, you know, I thought I wanted to be in a particular specialty, but I ended up going into emergency medicine because I felt like it allowed for some sort of balance where I could be involved as a mother and still do something great in my career. And that has continued because now that I've added additional things onto my plate as being an entrepreneur and being a medical director and leading in medicine, I'm always striving for balance. So I'm always trying to say, well, can I do both? You know, my husband and I, thank God, I have such an amazing partner. He's the father of my three children, and we've worked from young couple, single mom, to married couple with three kids. And it has to be like literally a family unit decision when we add things to the mix.
Okay. Sure, of course. Well, I know that that's basically the topic of our discussion today, is discussing the challenges of being a physician while concurrently running a business. And I know that you run a couple of businesses that really aren't medical related, but every doctor has to run their own business, being their medical business, correct?
If you're working for a hospital, you're obviously managing personnel and everything like that as well.
Right, right. So we've mentioned on previous shows that we believe doctors, you know, Jean, Ron, and I, we believe that they should take courses in business management, since running the office or running your business, and now you have franchises as well, is obviously an integral part of having a good practice. I think the most important question is, do doctors receive training on running a business, operating a business?
So I graduated medical school. I've been practicing for at least 10 years now. So when I was in medical school, it was not a part of our medical training. You know, you're in medical school for 4 years, and then you go on and do the training through a residency program in your particular specialty. And I think it's hugely important, you know, looking at, and I think the issue is, when you're in medical school, you're in an academic setting. You're learning the medicine. But not everyone stays in academic medicine. Not everyone will be in a teaching hospital where they're teaching medical students or residents and the next training physicians. There are so many. The majority go into private practice. Now there's other areas of medicine, telemedicine. That's huge with what's going on right now with COVID-19. So it would be amazing if that could be a part of the curriculum, because most of us have had to learn it along the way. Oh. And it could lead to potential issues, and some have not succeeded. There are practices right now with COVID-19 that are suffering, sure, because patients are afraid to go to the doctor during this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thank you for everything that you're doing during this time, because we know that that's adding to the overall stress and challenges for your day-to-day operations. And we really, really, really appreciate all the healthcare workers out there. And you guys are putting, you know, your lives at risk to help us, and we really sincerely appreciate it. So thank you.
Yes, for sure.
And then I was curious too, how have you found balance? I mean, like, I am exhausted just hearing about all the stuff that you're doing. So how do you find that balance?
How did it work for you?
Yeah.
So, you know, with having my last two children were literally back to back, 14 months apart. So after the third child, I was like, I'm done. That's it. You know, if it was up to my husband, who'd have 5 kids. And when he saw just what my body and everything I went through and having to work and go right back to work after 3 months of having them, I decided it was time for me. Mm-hmm. And how does that work? I know it doesn't even sound like it's on the agenda, but I had to incorporate something for me. And that's when I started my wellness journey.
Okay.
10 years ago, my youngest will be 10. And I joined the gym and I started working out. And that was the one time when I was not being called mommy, mommy, mommy. You know, we had a joke in my house where of the 3 kids, I'm like, who says mommy the most? And they all point to my youngest child. He's like, mama, mama, mama. And I'll be standing right there.
Right.
So it was the time where I was not having to think about work, leading other physicians and nurse practitioner physicians. I didn't have to worry about my business. And through that, literally for the past decade, I have allowed that to be a part of my life. So that was key. So I did something for me. Mm-hmm. Now everything else falls into place. And I've decided that I am not a perfectionist. And even though my plate can be full, I will not strive to be perfect at everything. And there are some times where you're a great mom this day, and you're probably not as great the next day. And you're a great business owner one day, and you're probably not, you know, and it kind of is balancing it.
Okay.
So allowing yourself not to always be in this perfectionist mode.
Right, okay. Just accepting.
I know,
there,
I know.
There can be problems along the way.
And it is, it's hard and it's unusual, but we do have to realize that you guys are actually human, and physicians are human, because we do tend to put you guys on pedestals. because you're lifesavers. And I'm thrilled to hear, though, that you took time for yourself, and I'm sure that has just made every aspect of your life better. Because, you know, like, if you don't take care of yourself, how can you take care of everyone else? So that's fantastic advice.
Yes, very good. And what is the best advice that you have received, either from the education system or from conferences, perhaps, or other doctors? Or is this something that you don't really discuss with other doctors?
I think it all comes around the same thing. And burnout is becoming a very key topic, particularly right now. Like, COVID fatigue mm-hmm. is real. And the amount of patients, you saw it in the epicenter of New York, where the nurses, the doctors were just like, oh my gosh, right? When you used to go to work and there was one patient with cardiac arrest, multiply that by, you know, 6 or 10. We're still human. So I think allowing ourselves to be human, allowing ourselves to feel. Because when you're training, it's almost like you said, I'm so glad you said that about being on a pedestal. Even telling someone bad news about their loved one, it's almost like you have to go into this robotic mode, like, ma'am, I'm really sorry to tell you. But it's okay to have an emotion, to cry, to hug, you know, and that's the part that I feel over time has made me more a better physician, you know. And I think that in those areas where we discuss, we as physicians, we like, you know, there are patients. I was reading something about a doctor who said her favorite patient died. Mm-hmm. We like our patients. We feel. You know, there are some internal medicine doctors who see patients for many years.
Right.
And it's almost like they become a part of you. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be so separated as that physician where you have this wall up. And I think that's so key, allowing that human connection to happen.
I was just gonna actually throw in a follow-up question. Because in today's medicine, it seems, and I may be wrong here, it seems as though it's run a little bit more like an assembly line, and people are moving more often, people are changing doctors more often, and you might not have the same experiences with your physician that you had back in the day. Like when I had my girls, my girls were young, our GP lived in her office. She had an apartment above her office. If there was something I needed, I could call her, and, you know, she just went downstairs and saw us in an emergency.
And we knew her so well that, you know, like, she treated our whole family, and she knew all about us. And, like, we were there at her husband's funeral. And
because they became so close to us, right?
So I guess with today, everybody's moving so fast, you might not have that connection. But it's good to hear that, you know, you guys do become attached, and that you have emotions. And I can't even imagine the emotional stress that all of, you know, the COVID
right.
is putting on you guys. And,
right, losing patient after patient, and you can't do anything.
Right.
I mean, I know that your prayers are with everyone else, hoping for a cure or a vaccine. But in the meantime, you're suffering by watching all of this disaster coming through your doors, and
it takes
not
its
much,
toll.
Yeah, there's not much you can do. It's horrible.
Although we have heard that, you know, every little bit helps. So whatever we can do, like wearing masks.
Oh, we push this. We push masks constantly. Oh my gosh!
So thankful for that. It's so key. I think it's not something that should be a question.
exactly. Have you found any extra support from your family or friends in balancing your career and your family and your life?
Well, like, yeah, because you were saying that your husband's amazing.
Right. Are there other impactful people that have helped you along the way?
So yes, absolutely. Over the years, we have really leaned on, I would say we had three set of parents, although my mom passed 2 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they have been so integral. So even though they don't live physically in the Atlanta area where my husband and I, with our young family unit, at a drop of a dime, we call them if they need to come in town, they're in town. All of the big events, all of anything regarding business opening, they are like such huge supporters. And we have a strong friend network locally that in all we do, they're like cheering us on and we cheer for one another. So having that support in all you're doing, whether it's with your career, your business, your family, right? So you have these engagements where you can invite people that are very close to you, so key. I think it's huge, you know. So we have been very blessed to have this strong circle, and it's very tight and it doesn't have to be huge, but those you can lean on in times of need.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, that's I'm sure that's key. Dr. Blake, what additional tips and advice do you have for someone who's new to the healthcare field, those new physicians that are just going to be coming out in, you know, into the workplace as they put on their white coat and, you know, have to face the world as a new physician? What can you, what advice do you have for them?
You know, that's interesting because one thing I've noticed for the newer physicians, mm-hmm. they have such a heavy financial burden. So okay. What it cost many years ago, 10 years ago for me, is triple.
Wow.
And so when someone would come out of medical school owing $100,000, it's now $300,000.
Oh my gosh.
And that's a mortgage, right?
Yeah.
And what I found is that they're faced with that burden that they don't allow themselves the time to really, just really get into it and slowly get there. They're having to just go, because they're worried about that financial burden. I've actually told and advised many younger physicians it's not a race. Mm-hmm. It's a marathon, because mm-hmm. we don't want a situation where how many years down the line these physicians are not doing medicine.
Okay.
And that leads to shortages, mm-hmm. you know? So my recommendation is really that it's not a race, it's a marathon.
Okay.
And if there's anything in terms of the, you know, what could we do? It's something that we need to discuss, because, and that's why some are not choosing medicine. We need people to take care. I mean, look what's going on in a right. time like this. We need physicians who can care and have that human connection and really help impact our patients' care.
Kind of makes you want to have a bill brought up in Congress that would help alleviate and take away some of that financial burden, especially during crises. I don't know if they have yet, but it certainly should happen, where doctors should not have to pay their student loans during this crisis.
Right. And I know there's also there's talk about giving tax incentives for healthcare workers and things of that nature,
right,
too.
Right.
But yeah, every little bit that we can do, sure. Because we need wonderful physicians like yourself out there on the lines. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Blake, I know that we've come a long way as far as inclusivity with careers, genders, races, different abilities. But since we're speaking with you specifically, what do you wish others knew about the challenges as a doctor if they are not Caucasian and male?
So one thing, and this has become a very hot topic in terms of even in the company I work for, which is a large national medical group, going to meetings and actually being inclusive. So just because another physician said this, and I love this, even though you're invited to dance, but being asked to dance is two different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not okay. It's okay. It's not okay just to say, oh, we're diverse, but are you really including the physicians that don't look like you, mm-hmm. on your team? And what it creates sometimes, because particularly my role as a leader, as a medical director, it creates an environment where you start to question your ability, and imposter syndrome sets in, and you have to really go through the emotions to make sure your voice is heard.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm so sorry that you have to go through that.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess we all can do our a little bit, you know, in everyone's daily life, make sure that you're being inclusive.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, and Dr. Lake, we're very excited. We're hoping to get our copy very soon of Women in White Coats and that whole your group, that organization.
They're on book two, right?
Yeah, and I wanted.
Yeah, we got one right here.
Yep. And I wanted to ask, like,
good.
How did you get involved in that group, and how does the group help support other physicians as well?
So, you know, we have the first volume of a group of women who came together and really wanted to put pen to paper their experiences as physicians, and particularly as women in medicine, because there are some differences in terms of gender equality. And we have gone through different things and having to figure out family, career, balance that men may not have had to. And we wanted to be able to share that to inspire others who are going through the exact same thing. So the volume two is myself and 10 other women. And although we have different stories, it's so amazing. There's such a commonality theme, right? Mm-hmm. We're all striving for balance. We all want to be heard. We want to have our career. We want to have our families. We want balance. Mm-hmm. And we have gone through different struggles. For me, my story really relates to being a young mother and be, you know, as a medical student, I'm forced with the, is she really going to be a doctor now? Everyone thought it was over for me.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
And at the time, in my medical school, very prestigious medical school, I went to Cornell Medical School. I started with a class of 101 students, and I was the only one with a young child.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
No one had to go through what I was going through. And I remember I was called the girl with the baby.
Oh.
The student with the baby. You know, and it was rough. My son didn't, as he was 5 months old, I took 1 year off to have him because I was told that if during my if I went to class or started medical school when I was pregnant and I would have any interruption in my class, I would have to repeat the whole year over.
Wow.
And I didn't think, I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to school and be a doctor and have my baby. They're like, yeah, that's great. We're so excited for you. But you're doing March in the middle of anatomy. And if there's any interruption in your coursework, you repeat that whole year over.
Wow.
So I was like, ooh. So I took the year off and then I started when he was 5 months. And I had one of those children who did not fully sleep through the night till 8 months.
Geez.
So the first 3 months of medical school was a blur.
Yeah.
And it ended up affecting my course study where I had to remediate a course. I remember going to meetings with deans and they're like, how are you doing? And that was code for, is she going to mess up our graduation rate?
Oh.
And I literally had just graduated Cornell undergrad, another Ivy League institution, with honors in chemistry.
Oh, wow.
So I went from being this, oh, she's going to do great, to, mm-hmm. oh, my God, is she going to make it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So imagine all of the emotions that go through that.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
To be able to talk about that story now.
Mm-hmm.
And my son is my oldest, is now going on to college this fall, Georgia State University. It was one of the best decisions I made.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it, you know, I questioned everything about it. And everyone did, too.
Wow.
Well, and so I think having your story out there for, you know, individuals who are considering going to medical school, it's a real inspiration. And seeing that, you know, you can do it.
Seeing the success at the end.
Yeah, I mean, even though you didn't,
yeah, right.
even though the medical school doesn't have the support system there to help women who are, you know, recent mothers. I from personal experience, I would have to say that those physicians that have cared for me who are also parents do see things from a different perspective. And I really appreciate that because I think it opens your eyes to a number of things. And being a parent, especially a mother and a physician, I think it definitely enhances your ability to treat patients and to be empathetic and care for your patients. So
right. It's not because you're not picking
it's not a
it
detriment.
Up, you're not picking it up in book learning where you're saying, well,
it's the, also yeah, the practical and just already, in your empathy. Yeah. I think your ability to empathize with your patients is enhanced by your having been a mother.
Right.
But I am sorry that there isn't a support structure there for parents while in medical school. How can we get the book?
Yes.
And how can we learn more about you?
Well, we already put our order in, yes. But let our listeners know.
So, I am on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, at Dr. Tamika Blake, T-A-M-E-K-A Blake, B-L-A-K-E. And the book is available on Amazon, on Kindle. It's The Chronicle of Women in White Coats 2. Okay. And it's doing great. And I just would love for you all to get it and really just delve into all of the different experiences. And hopefully it can inspire at least one person.
Oh, definitely.
We're going to offer a free copy on our
Instagram
account.
Right. And then we're getting copies for some young girls that to help inspire them as well, because it's a great resource.
We have a couple of people in the family that are in the medical field, and they're just in college or just getting out of college, so we think it'll help them as well.
Inspire them, to keep up.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. We really, really, really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And knowing how busy you are, yes. Especially as an emergency medical physician at this time, has to be hard. Big hugs to you from us.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you for everything that you do.
Appreciate it.
Okay, if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, on our Facebook, Instagram, or Pinterest page. Our website is also podcastdx.com.
podcastdx@yahoo.com. And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard in this podcast.
Until next week.